Really enjoyed worship. And for some of you who were actually here before the service, Isaac Shepherd, who was playing music, it's just so amazing. We're so blessed to have several professional musicians go to our church and play on our worship team. And Isaac's one whose music is known throughout the world. You can download his instrumental albums on iTunes. Isaac Shepherd is his name. And we're just blessed to be able to have him playing background music while we come in and say hi to people and stuff. So it's really cool. Well, this morning we have the special privilege of dedicating a really cute little boy, little Grayson Kish, to the Lord. And so if his parents will bring him out, we'll dedicate him. And I don't know if he's going to let me hold him. Come here, bud. Yeah. Look at that. Yeah, I thought that might be the case. Oh, no, he's fine. He's fine. We're going to toughen this guy up. Yeah. Let's bring him to the Lord quickly. Lord, we just thank you so much for this special little guy, so full of life and energy. And we think of all the plans that you have for him. And boy, he has some of his own too. And Lord, we just put him into your hands. We thank you for him, the gift that he has. Help his parents to just really raise him in the kind of environment where he never doubts that God loves him. That he always knows you, that he won't even be able to remember not knowing that he had a place in your heart and that you had a plan in his life. So, Lord, just bless them as a family. And as they're going to be moving to North Carolina, we're going to miss them so much, but we're excited for what you have for them. And so please help them to get settled and to enjoy life there and really be able to build their life that you have for them. And we just thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm glad you fussed for your parents too. That makes me feel better. All right, guys. See you later. Well, let's turn in our Bibles now to Jeremiah chapter 18. As we continue our journey through the Bible, going through this year through the Old Testament, and just picking out some key Bible stories along the way. Jeremiah 18 is this picture that God gave Jeremiah when he took him down to a pottery shop and showed him a potter making pottery out of clay. And it said, I have a message for the people based on this imagery, based on how this was happening. And let's begin reading with verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. Now, therefore, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, everyone, from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. So God brings Jeremiah to a pottery shop. And he says, have you noticed that when a potter takes a lump of clay and begins to spin it on a wheel, that sometimes there's a flaw in the clay and the vessel gets marred, and so he smashes it into a ball of clay and starts all over again. So he said, you are like clay in my hands. I, like a potter, can make anything I want out of you. And that's what I want to do. But if you decide that you don't want me working in your life, even if I've told you I have a great plan for you, if you decide to disobey me and to walk away from me, then I'll change my plan for you. And you can just become a lump of clay sitting on the sidelines. At the same time, if there are people who I predict they are going to amount to nothing, they are going to be failures. And if they change their hearts toward me and they want me to work in their life, then I'll change my mind and I'll actually make something beautiful out of them. So, and theologically that becomes problematic because we often go, well, wait, you know, can God make a promise and then change his mind? And I could go through theological gyrations to try to act like that's not the case, but there's too many places in the Bible where God says it. This is one of the places where God goes, look, if you decide that you don't want me, then I will change my mind about you. If you decide you do want me, then I will change my mind about you. And it's all in the picture of the potter and the clay. Now, for those of you who are hanging on to the notion of eternal security, that once you're saved, you're always saved, you can look at this. And I don't, you know, I don't have a real strong thing of, you know, yep, you know, eternal security necessarily. The way I look at it is, if you are a Christian and then you later become not a Christian, were you ever really a Christian? If being a Christian is having eternal life, the one way you can know you didn't ever have eternal life was if it ends, because then it's not. So if you don't want him, don't worry. He's not going to force himself on you. If you want him, you're fine. But from the perspective that he presents here, and he does this over and over throughout Scripture, better be careful, because your future with me is somehow hinged on how you decide to relate to me. Now, if you want to explain all that away, you're welcome to. It's not really what this message is about. What I want to look at this morning is why he chose the image of the potter and the clay to talk about how he works in our lives. If you watching a really good potter making pottery is a fascinating thing. It really is, because a potter takes a lump of what's essentially dirt, minerals from the dirt, mixes it with water, and has a vision for a lump of messy mud that says, I have an idea, and I'm going to take this lump, and I'm going to make it into something useful, something beautiful. All sorts of choices before me. I can make it into a vase. I can make it into a mug. I can make it into a bowl. But I can make it into something that's way more valuable than a lump of mud. And that's what a potter gets to do. It takes an amount of creativity and imagination, because, you know, a lot of times you start certain works of art and you just start slopping things together and think, okay, what does this look like? But to be able to take a lump and turn it into something, you've got to be able to see that in your mind before you ever get to the point where it's actually reality and somebody could recognize it. And so a potter does that. They take dirt and water and make them into something beautiful and useful. And the potter has a lot of choices as to what they're going to make into, you know, what they're going to make this mud, this clay into. And so this imagination and these choices. And you can see why God uses this as a description of what he can do with us. It's a really good illustration in that way. But there are some other things about pottery, that when you're making pottery, for one thing, pottery is really messy. If you've ever tried to do it, chunks of clay are flying all over the place. I mean, you should have learned that from Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore. But if you didn't, it's a messy art. It really is. You do not do it and stay clean. Kind of like life. Kind of like God working in us. So this is an interesting facet of it. Also, it's not easy at all It's really hard to do. It might look easy, but you take a lump of clay, and I don't know if you've ever tried with a potter's wheel, just truing it up and making something round. I'm amazed how difficult it is. I tried it back years ago at Calvary. We had an art teacher who was really good with a potter's wheel. And so I thought, that looks easy. I could do that. And I had operated lathes. And so I thought, I can handle this easily. So she had me in front of her class. We're going to have Pastor Dave come and show you how this is done. And I go, okay, I got this. I've watched it before. I've seen Ghost. And so I go up there and I just start smashing the clay, and it just splattered all over everywhere. And I kept trying and getting frustrated. And I mean, I couldn't do it. It's hard. One of the, this morning in the junior high and high school group, second and third service both, we have a woman who's an expert ceramicist who's demonstrating for the kids, and hopefully she'll give the kids a chance to try it, at least some of them. So if you have a junior high or high school kid, trust me, they may come home really dirty. And they may come home going, I couldn't do it at all. In fact, the woman who's doing the demonstration, I was talking to her daughter-in-law who took her as a ceramics teacher in high school. And I said, you know, how was she as a teacher? She goes, well, I don't know. I got a B minus. For one thing, if anybody gets a B minus from their mother-in-law, that's like an A plus from anybody else. But this girl's really creative and she's smart. But she realized after a semester, wow, this is harder than I thought. But if you think it's hard to do the work of the potter, imagine what it's like for the lump of clay. Because it's frustrating too, because you just start thinking you're getting somewhere, and boom, they just decide, nope, that's not right, and they smash you, and you start all over again. Imagine spending your life spinning around. There are times when I've had vertigo, and it's just so crazy that you get up, and it's like, whoa. I remember it was a couple years ago at the men's retreat, I had this attack of vertigo, and I'm in our cabin up there at Forest Home, and I'm just like, whoa, I'm hanging on and it's spinning. Well, that's what a lump of clay probably feels like if it was, you know, if you were going to turn it into a human. And chunks of it are missing and things are happening. It's just, pottery is rough for the clay. It's hard on it. And a lot of them never end up becoming anything at all. Just the way it is. But also, pottery, when it's just about finished, when it's finally looking like what it's supposed to look like, when you paint it, then you put it in a kiln and fire it. You pass it through the fire, and that's what hardens it and makes it more permanent. And I think, again, that's a fascinating aspect of it that certainly God had in mind as he was making this analogy between God and people, between a potter and clay, ultimately pottery. And so when we think about it this way, now let's personalize it. Let's think about what this says to me and to you. For one thing, he is the potter, we're the clay. We don't make ourselves. If you ask a lump of clay, what do you want to be? It would just say, I want to be a lump, or a dog, or a star, or whatever. You know, clay doesn't form itself. You can let it sit there for billions of years, and it just becomes harder and more staid in what it is, and it's absolutely useless for anything except a, you know, paperweight. That's our lives. We can try to make ourselves into something. They talk about people being a self-made man, but we really aren't capable of making ourselves into much of anything useful. But God is the potter. And so God looks at me and he looks at you, and with this incredible divine imagination that he is able to look into you and see an image of what he wants to do in your life. And it's amazing because, like an artist, he can look at raw materials and see end results. He can look at a lump of clay and say, wow, I have an idea. I have a picture in my mind. I have something that I can do that will make this lump of clay into something amazing. And God looks at you and he looks at me. And when he finds us, he doesn't say, wow, what a great lump of clay. All lumps of clays are pretty much the same. But it's his image. It's his idea. It's his thought processes that say, I can take you with your idiosyncrasies and I can actually mold and shape you into something that is more amazing. That causes people not to say, look at the clay. It causes people to look at you and say, look at the potter. Who did this? This is awesome. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. He has a plan for us. But unlike clay, who has no choice, we have a choice. He makes it clear there that, you know, we can decide. If we decide we don't want him working in our life, then he'll just go, okay, and he'll set us aside. But that choice is never permanent until you die, because no matter how much you've squandered your life, you can still decide, okay, I want him to work. But realize this, when God is working in your life, it's going to be messy. Chunks are going to be flying, because what turns dirt into clay is water. And it has to be soggy in order for it to actually be malleable and shapeable, functional. And it's the same way in our lives. You know, we're made of dirt and water, mostly water. And we are malleable. It's one of the things that makes it possible for us to be hurt. But God sees us and he goes, I have a plan for your life, but I'm just telling you, it's going to be really messy. Some of the things that you're going to experience, and when you get out of all this, you're going to be something beautiful, but you're going to leave a huge mess behind. And I think how true that is of our lives, that as he works in us, oh man, pieces are flying everywhere. And not only that, it's kind of difficult for us. It's easier to be a lump of clay than it is to become a beautiful bowl or a vase or a urn or whatever that you're going to be. It's hard because you're like going, and I know we come to God and we go, okay, God, here am I. And he goes, okay, let's go. And you start spinning around and then chunks are flying off of you and you're losing stuff. And every once in a while, it seems like God just goes, nah, there's something here that's not right. Boom, boom, boom. And he pounds us down. And we're like, man, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been in the hands of the potter. All of a sudden, I feel like I'm starting all over again. I'm just becoming another lump of clay. That's what pottery does. That's what a good potter does. They don't say, okay, we'll just not deal with that flaw. And I'll just make you into something decent. I was going to make you into a great vase. But now, let's just lop it off right here, and you can be an ashtray. No, he's like, no, I would rather make you a lump again so we can start over, because I have a great idea for what I want to do in your life. But that's hard, because I like to believe that my life is on this progression up. I like to calculate that the trajectory of my life is I go here and then here and then here. Wow, look at that. But here's, in reality, here's the trajectory of my life. Showing some potential, kind of going up a little, boom. Oh, I'm a lump again, okay. I'll rededicate my life to the Lord. I start going up again. It's like boom, 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 boom. I'm like, oh, what happened? Well, there was something in the clay that needed to be reworked, that needed to be massaged, that needed some more water or whatever it was. And so it's tough being a piece of clay. It is difficult because you know what's happening and you see it and you feel it and you're living it every day of your life. And in the same way that clay has to be subject to, sometimes there are pieces that just need to be taken out. Sometimes there are things in our lives that need to be set aside. Sometimes we lose something that we think is essential. But he goes, no, I have the image of what you're going to be. And you really need to do it without that relationship or without that job or without that car, without that house or whatever. No, I need to fine-tune you into what I want to do in your life. And he's the potter. And so we either decide to say, okay, go ahead. And when it hurts and when I'm spinning and when I'm feeling like I just started all over, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to decide you're the potter. I'm just clay. I'm just sitting here and putting myself in your hands and desiring for you to work. Now, sometimes you get to the point in your life where you feel like I'm finally getting somewhere. I know I'm not totally done, but I've learned some lessons. I've pretty much, most of the mistakes, I've already made them. And I figured out they're stupid. So now my life is actually starting to gel and come together. And I have some solid friends. And I've learned to get along with others. And I realize I don't need a bunch of stuff. And I'm in his hands, letting him do whatever he wants. And you know what you do with a piece of pottery before it's done? Even when it's really developed, sometimes it's like, okay, yeah, we'll start decorating you. And you're like, awesome. And you're going, wait, what's that gas flame I hear in the back? Oh, that's a kiln. Even when you're just about done, sometimes you'll endure this experience of passing through fire. But it's going through that fire that makes the colors on pottery just pop. And glaze over and shine. It's going through that finally finalizes what the potter wants to do in your life. But that's the way it happens. That's the way it's done. That's life. And so in so many ways we see, wow, this image of the potter and the clay, it's radical. But I think in the point of the passage too, is that as he talks to nations and he says, you people in Judah, you've done well. I've done a lot for you. You have had some incredible godly kings. You have had some great revivals. But listen to me, he says, the potter can decide. I don't care what plan I have for you. If you start acting like people that I've destroyed before, you don't think I'm going to take you out? You don't think I'm going to destroy you? You go, but God, you've made promises to me. And he said, and I can take my promises back because I'm God. Don't you ever think that you have arrived so much that now it's just like, okay, I'm done. Your job, my job, is not to just be better than most people. Our job is to be everything that he imagines for us, to become those finalized products that, John talks about it in 1 John when he says, beloved, now we are the children of God. And it hasn't yet appeared what we're going to be, but we know that when he appears, that we'll be like him and we'll see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. See, we don't look like what we're supposed to look like. We're just in the process of that. We are on the way. And yet every day we decide, am I going to put myself on the potter's wheel and allow him to shape and mold me, to pull pieces away, to, if he needs to, just start everything over? Am I going to do that? I know what his plan is, what I'm ultimately going to look like. And I'm going to look like a version of Jesus himself. But do I let that happen? We can never play it so safe that we just feel like, yeah, I'm safe, I'm secure, I'm okay. Because he says, no, even if I tell you what you're going to be, you still don't have to become that if you don't want to. I don't force my will on you. At the same time, he says, you could have squandered your life so that now you're just this mass of clay that's dry and hard, and you're just always thinking, I could have been something great. Oh, I had so much potential. But he says, you can be a person who just goes, yeah, I quit. I've given up on all my dreams. And he says, no, if you change your mind, and if you decide, I want to live life right, then the potter will take you. And even though he has told you, you're done, there's always another chance. He always can take a dry lump of clay and mix water in with it and knead it and roll it. And he can go, I can still make something beautiful out of your life. I don't care how much water's gone under the bridge. I don't care for how long you've squandered your life. It is not too late for you. And the cool thing is, as soon as you give yourself into the potter's hand, there can be times when, man, God was really doing something in your life, and then it was like a reset time, and you're like, I quit. I don't want to start over. And so then you just sit there for a while, and then you go, God, is it too late? He goes, it's never too late. Come on. And he takes the water of his word and the Holy Spirit and begins to work in your life. And now all of a sudden, you're like a fresh lump of clay and he begins to shape you again. And you remember some of the lessons that you've learned in the past. And this time you go, I'm not going to freak out this time when it gets messy, when it's hard, when it's difficult, when I don't approve of what he's making of me, when I think it's all over, I'm going to hang in there. For many of us, we go through a lot of those restarts, and some of them set us back for a while. Sometimes we sit on the shelf until we're hard enough that we think, all I am is a dry lump of clay now. I have nothing to lose. Maybe God will still hear me. The answer is absolutely he will hear you. Absolutely, he's just waiting for you to say, I am your lump of clay, and I want you to work your plans out in my life. For the children of Israel there in Judah, it didn't really end well. In fact, look at verse 12. After laying out these choices that the clay has in relationship to the potter, Jeremiah says, and they said, that is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans, and we will, not obey, or we will obey the dictates of his evil heart, every one of us. We'll just do what we want to do. And for the nation, that was the end. There wasn't anything else he could do. They ended up falling to the Babylonians and being taken off into captivity. That's what stands between us and the ideas that God has for the greatness he can produce in our lives. It's just a question of, will I have hope? Or will I give up hope? Because the one who says it's hopeless takes themselves out of the sphere where God can actually spin you into something and mold and shape you into something. And so it causes him to go, okay, if you don't have hope, then there's no hope. See, he wants us to cooperate with him. He wants to make us into something beautiful, but he will not force us to be something beautiful. He gives us that option to decide, what do I want? Now, for some people, they gave up hope a long time ago because they didn't like what God was making them, because they didn't like the fact that sometimes you have to start over. Sometimes you get smashed. Sometimes you things get dry and there are flaws that cause you to just be robbed of everything that God wants you to do. And so at some point, you just go, it's hopeless, like them. I'm going to tell you something. If you feel like it's hopeless and you keep feeling that way, it will be. Because the hope that you need is the hope in God that he can do anything, that he can make something beautiful out of the lump of clay that's your life, out of the dirt and water that makes up who you are. All you need is hope, and he'll do the rest. But you need to understand, it's not going to be easy. Your head's going to be spinning. Parts are going to be flying off. Sometimes you'll get smashed and start all over. But hang on to that hope, and there will be hope, because he will do it. He says, if you say that this is what you want, this is going to happen to you. But if you're at a point where you're kind of giving up hope, that's a scary place to be, because he will not work in your life if you have given up hope. If you have just decided, no, I'm just going to do what I want to do. You cannot follow Jesus and do whatever you want to do. Doesn't work that way. C.S. Lewis said in Mere Christianity, he said, there are two kinds of people in the world. The people who say, thy will be done. And the people to whom God says, all right then, have it your way. Every day, we have to decide, Am I going to say, thy will be done? Or am I going to say, I'll have it my way. I'll give up hope and I'll just do what I want to do. That's the ultimate lesson, and the ultimate tragedy is when we make the decision to live a selfish life. When we make a decision to think that, nah, it's okay. I mean, he started on me. I sort of look like, you know, a bowl, but it's kind of sloppy and messy and everything, but I'm good enough. This is okay. He sadly says, well, if that's okay with you, it's too bad, but man, I could have done something so much better with your life. I think every one of us at one point or another decides not to let him do it, but he's so patient. And his plans for you, the image that he has in mind for you, the beauty that he wants to bring out of you, it's still there because it's in his mind. And he's God, he can do anything. But he wants you to say, I believe that you can do this, and I will let you do this. There might be some of you who've never actually come to the point where you have said, I will let you make whatever you want out of me. I will put myself on your wheel and you can start it spinning and you can push and shape and shove your hand down inside of me and smooth me out and start over when you need to. I'll let you do that. If you haven't done that, then the thing that's missing in your life, the reason why you're giving up hope, is because you haven't given him permission to actually work on you, to mold you into something better, something more beautiful. You can do it. You know, Jesus Christ died to forgive all your sins. But when he forgives your sins, it just makes you a nice, neat lump of potential. He wants to make something way more out of you than what you are. But he will only do it if you tell him, I want you to mold and shape me. I want to be on your wheel. I want you to work on me. You have my permission to take off chunks that don't belong, to add water where necessary, to smooth and refine me and begin to form and shape me. Coming to him and saying that, putting yourself on the potter's wheel and going, here you go. That's what we call being born again. That's what we call becoming a Christian. It's when we present ourselves to him and say, I've been working on this lump, but it's not working. But if there's a way that you have an idea, that you have a plan, that you have an image that you want to bring about, a blueprint in your mind of what I could be, I'm giving myself to you. And I'll try not to freak out when it hurts. And when it's confusing and it makes me dizzy, because I want you to make me into something beautiful. If you've never done that, you can do that today by reporting for duty. I thought about getting a potter's wheel down here and say, if you really want to get right with God, come and stand on this wheel and we'll fire it up. But that's what I'm asking you to do spiritually. All you need to do is just come down to the front after the service. There'll be people down here who just love praying with people who realize that their plan has gone wrong and they need to start life over and have their sins forgiven. If that's you, after the service, just come on down and just come clean and go, I've made a mess of things. I am ready to try anything, including God, who can work in my life. So just come down and get right with him. For the rest of us, it's a serious question. Am I somebody who's been hanging on to the hope that I actually used to do something, that God used to work in my life, and therefore I think that's good enough? Is there a chance that we need to start over from scratch? Because life's been getting kind of comfortable as a half-formed cheap mug. And so we're like, yeah, it's okay. I'm better than most. Every one of us every day needs to come to him and say, I want to spin. I want your ideas. I want to fulfill your vision. I want you to control my life. And I'm giving you renewed permission today to do whatever you need to do to take my life and make it into something more than the lump of clay that it feels like. That's something that I think we need to do on a daily basis. If we don't, little by little, we begin to harden. Little by little, we start to pretend that we're something. You know, we're this ugly, rough mug, but we're like, oh, put some flowers in it, it'll look cool. You know, if nobody touches it, it won't crack. Don't quit. Take yourself every day and put yourself in his hands. Allow the word of God, the washing of the water of the word, to freshen your clay. The Holy Spirit to just work in your life so that he again has new, fresh permission to work. And if you let him do it, you might be thinking you're doing pretty good because you're not as bad as you used to be. That's why when people share testimonies, it's always about how, yeah, back in the day, boy, I quit these habits and everything's been kind of like it is now. No, he wants to do crazy things in your life right now. He's not finished because you're still breathing. And I pray that every one of us this week will come back to him and just go, I want you to do whatever you want because I don't want to sell short that beautiful plan that you have. And so I think, you know, this is a great week for all of us to report for duty on the potter's wheel and to say, I'm still in for this. I'm thankful for what you've done in my life, but I want you to do even more. This isn't enough. I still have hope that it can be better than this, that it can be greater than this, that I can be more than what I am right now. You keep that hope, and he'll continue to spin, and he'll continue to mold and shape you into something even more beautiful than you've become. Let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for giving us this graphic image of what many of us would consider just kind of a meaningful artistic thing. And we kind of think with our plastic molding and our computer-generated, you know, design, that we really don't need the old school. And then we lose this picture, and we're just hoping that somehow we can put ourselves in some sort of CAD program, read the right book, go to the right church, do the right thing, and automatically we'll just get pressed into what we're supposed to be. But we believe that you were telling the truth when you said this is the only way that we will become what you want us to be, is if we submit ourselves to the painful and messy process of allowing you to spin us into something beautiful. So God, help us, each of us, to never be satisfied, to always know that our relationship with you is only as good as what it is right now, today, this week. Help us to never rest on our laurels. And God, for people here who have never really presented themselves to you as the potter, help them to see, first of all, that pretty much all they have to give is a lump of clay. But help them to see your heart, your vision, your image of what you can make them. The beauty that's possible if they will report to you and give you permission to work in their lives. Lord, give them the courage to come down, to pray, to start their lives over on your wheel today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.